Up to this point in our applications, we've only used a single XAML page, typically that main page.xaml that's created automatically whenever we create a new project. However, just like web pages in a website, you can navigate between XAML pages within your Silverlight phone applications. After all, very few applications that I've ever used only have one page, or rather, one screen's worth of data on it. Usually, there's at least several that we need to navigate between in order to accomplish some task on the phone. So we're going to get this concept under our belt in this video. There are two ways to handle navigating from one XAML page to another. There's a simple way that I'm going to demonstrate in this video, and then there's a more complex way that's really better suited for Silverlight applications that run within a web browser. So I want to handle the simple method of navigation between XAML pages, and I'm going to show you also how to pass data between XAML pages. Now, if you want to learn more about building Silverlight applications that reside within the web browser, and you're curious about your additional navigation options, then you want to look for articles and training that use the key terms navigation framework, URI mapping, and URI routing. All right, so first of all, you load XAML pages in a Silverlight application in a similar way that you load HTML pages in a web browser. Now, in a website, each page has its own URL. So for example, my website, www.learnvisualstudio.net/browse.aspx. And then if I want to navigate back from that page to the home page, I would put a hyperlink, an anchor tag, that's pointed to the URL www.learnvisualstudio.net/default.aspx. With a Silverlight application, it's very similar, but there are a few little wrinkles here and there. Instead of an anchor tag in HTML, you use a hyperlink button control, and then you set its navigate URI property to the URI of the XAML page that you want to load into that parent frame that's topmost within your application. So that's easy enough, right? So by the way, I think we've already talked about this once before. URL is similar to URI. The URL is a unified resource locator. The URI is a unified resource identifier. Both are ways of finding and locating resources. One is specific to the internet. The other one is more generalized and can be used internet, local, within your local network, on a phone, for example, and so on. It's really as simple as that. Okay, so to get started, you can see that I have a new project loaded up called Navigating Between Pages. What I want to do, I'm going to pull some things over here. I'm going to right-click on the project and select Add New Folder. I'm going to create a folder to put my new page in just for demonstration purposes. And I'm going to call that folder Views. And now I'm going to add a page to that. So right-click and select Add New Item. And the Add New Item dialog pops up. I want to make sure to select a Windows Phone Portrait page. The name by default is page1.xaml. I'll go ahead and accept that as my default and click the Add button. All right, so now you can see I have in the main area two tabs, the main page.xaml that we've been working with, and then a new page1.xaml. Just for clarity's sake, I'm going to change this text block at the very top to reflect the name of the page, so page1.xaml. Great. Back on main page.xaml, I'm going to make some space for myself and drag and drop a hyperlink button onto the designer surface. Now, I'll need to modify then one property called the Navigate URI property. And so I'm going to use this URI syntax that we've seen a couple of times already. First of all, you use the name of the project. So in this case, it's Navigating Between Pages. And I think even I need to actually start this off with a forward slash. My apologies there. So forward slash navigating between pages semicolon, and now I want to look in the component slash, and since I have my page in a subfolder, I'm going to add that now, views slash and then page1.xaml, and then hit the enter key on my keyboard. I'm going to save this, and if I type that incorrectly when I run my application and click the hyperlink button, I navigated from the main page to page one. Pretty neat, right? Pretty simple. Okay, so next thing that I want to do is pass information between these two pages. So I'm going to construct a query in my navigate URI, and then I'm going to it'll have not only what you saw before with the URI, but I'm also going to tack on a query string that will embed some additional information in that URI. And then on the page1.xaml, I'm going to retrieve that extra information off and read it, and I'll do something like displaying it to the screen. Pretty simple. So I use the word query string. A query string is something that's common to those who've been building web applications over the last 15 years or so, using CGI or ASP or ASP.NET or PHP or really any other web programming language. So have you ever seen a long URL like this, if you're not familiar with it? So www.learnvisualstudio.net/video.aspx?ID=3(EN). So everything after the question mark is called the query string. And you can see that I have two name value pairs. ID is the name and the value is 3. Language is the name and the value is EN, maybe for English. And then the equal sign is what delimits the value from, or the name from the value. And the ampersand lets us add additional pieces of information. So I've got two pieces of information that I'm sending from one page to the next. All right, so that's the basic formula that we can use to pass information between our XAML pages. So what I want to do is this. I'm going to add, go to my toolbox. I'm going to add another hyperlink button. And I'm going to actually modify this first hyperlink button, changing its navigate URI, going all the way to the very end. I'm going to put a question mark after the word XAML, and then I'm going to do ID equals 1, okay? And I'm going to, hit Control A on my keyboard and then Control C to copy. So Control A selects everything in its current area, and then Control C will copy to the clipboard. Then I'm going to go down to this new hyperlink button that I just added. I'm going to go to its navigate URI. I'm going to paste in that long URI, but I'm going to change out from ID equals 1 to ID equals 2. So now I'm passing two different values depending on which hyperlink button that you choose. All right. Then back over here on our page1.xaml, what I want to do this time is, well, first of all, let's go ahead and run the application and just see what happens. And I'm going to go ahead and click the second button. And you can see that really nothing is different between the two hyperlink buttons. That's because on page1.xaml, we've ignored anything in the query string up to this point. So let's remedy that right now. So on page1.xaml, I'm going to add a text block. I'm going to go ahead and clear out its text property. All right, then inside of the phone application page loaded event, so I'm going to double click to create the loaded, I'm going to write this. textblock1.text equals string.format value, and then I'm going to use that replacement character. Then I'm going to use this navigation context. This is what's going to give me access to the URL, specifically the query string. So you can see query string is one of its properties. Then I'm going to use an open and close bracket, square bracket. And this is going to allow me to access a single item. So as we talked about before, in our URLs, we can have like ID equals 3, ampersand, language equals EN, ampersand, whatever else. So how do I get to just one of the values by using one of the keys or one of the names? That's how I do it. Butt it up right against the word query string, I use a square brackets, and then I pass in the value that I want to retrieve. In this case, I want to retrieve the value that's named ID, okay? And so then let me close this off. And then I'm going to just simply start debugging the application. Admittedly, this is a very simple scenario. Let's click the second one here. But you can see value equals 2 whenever I click that second button, and value equals 1 whenever I click the first button. Pretty neat. So, admittedly, this example isn't doing anything really all that exciting just yet, but I could use the same technique to do several interesting things. Suppose that I wanted to create a weather application and I want to allow the user to select the city, state, and zip code. So I would pass those values from a XAML page that allows the user to select on, what the city, state, and the country is. And then on a second XAML page, I would retrieve those values and then do some sort of a lookup using a remote service over Wi-Fi or over the phone's network, and then retrieve the values and display them to the user. So there's only one problem with what I've written so far, and that is this. If there's no query string with the name of ID passed in from the preceding page, then our application is going to blow up. It's going to throw an exception and crash. And quite rather abruptly. So we need to fix that problem, and we'll do that in just a moment. So then, what about sending and retrieving two or more query string name value pairs? We've been talking about that, but how to actually accomplish that here in our code? Well, it's the same basic idea. We just need to separate the name value pairs on our main page.xaml's hyperlink buttons using an ampersand, and then we can start with another name equals value pair. Okay, so let's do this. I'm going to add a third hyperlink button, and I'll put it down here a little bit further. And then I'm going to go down to the navigate URI, and I should still have something on my clipboard there. Yeah, I do. Great. So I'm going to put ID equals 3 and state equals Texas, TX. Okay. Now, on my page1.xaml.cs, I think what I'm going to do actually is go to my page1.xaml. I'm going to add a second text block. And I'm going to remove its text. And then I want to go to the page1.xaml.cs. And I think I'll comment this out. I'm going to write some new code underneath of it. Okay, so by adding this code, I fixed both of my problems. Let me run the application first just to make sure that it runs, and then let me explain what exactly I did. So I'm going to click this third hyperlink button, and now I'm retrieving the value of 3 into the first text block, and then I'm retrieving that second value from the query string into that second text block. Great. All right, so what did I do here? Well, you can see that I took a little bit different tact. Using the navigation.query string here leaves us open to the possibility that there is no ID defined, and so when I do that, my application would blow up. However, I can use this try get value method on the query string, passing in that name of the name value pair, and then retrieving out this. So this is an out parameter, an output parameter. So it will, if it can retrieve the value, then it will do two things. It'll retrieve the value into this new variable called ID, which is of type string, and then it will also go ahead and execute this code block. If it can't, it'll just skip this code block, and it won't try to pull that value out. There's nothing to pull out, right? Same thing is true down here in this second chunk of code. I am doing the same thing with state, which was the second part of the query string that we tacked on in that third hyperlink button. And we're just retrieving state as an output parameter. If we can get state, then we will execute this second code block. So let me run the application one more time and see how this works. If what we said is true, then when we click on this hyperlink button, we don't have a state value. It should just ignore this and not explode the application, and nothing should show up here. And indeed, that is exactly what happens. So this is generally how you should be retrieving values from a query string. Okay, so one final concept, and then we're going to wrap up this video. Each time that you navigate to a new XAML page, you're creating a new instance of that class that is represented by the XAML and the C# code behind file. So in this case, when we open up a new page, we're creating a new instance of page one, this class named page one. Okay? So let's suppose that your user fills in some information into a text box and you have a button that allows your application to act on that information. But then there's also a hyperlink button that allows them to look at something on a second XAML page in your application. So the user clicks on that link, looks at the information, then returns to the previous page using a hyperlink button on the second page. What happened to the user's entry? Well, let's do this. We're going to add a text block onto, or rather, a text box onto our mainpage.xaml. I'm going to empty out the text property. Then on page1.xaml. Well, just let's start with page1.xaml. Here, what I want to do is use a hyperlink button. And I'm going to navigate this to navigate between pages component mainpage.xaml. All right. All right, so the result now is that there's a hyperlink button to navigate back and forth between the two pages. Okay, so now let's run the application and run a little battery of tests here. What if I were to type in something here, and then I'm going to click the hyperlink button, and then I'm going to use the back button on the phone. Notice that the word Bob is retained. I'm going to use the back, and I'm going to type in Steve instead. And then I'm going to click the hyperlink button. And now I'm going to click my new hyperlink button that's set to the mainpage.xaml. And when I do that, notice that the value disappears. What just happened? Well, when the user clicks the back button, and assuming that the application hasn't been terminated by the user opening up a second application, the page's state, or rather the properties that have been modified for the controls on that page, is retained in the phone's memory. However, when we navigate specifically to that page, a new instance of that page is created. So if you were to click the back button twice, you would see the word Bob or Steve still in the text box. So let's do that. So I use the back button twice, and we're back to Steve, and I can even use it to go back. Unfortunately, I've gone out of the application now. Relaunching it, it's gone again. So if this confuses you, just imagine how this much this would confuse the end user. There are two morals to the story. First of all, you need to test your applications. Try irrational things with your application that are outside the usual course of events that you've become accustomed to while developing the application. Have friends and family help test your application before you release it to the general public. Secondly, and more pertinently to this discussion, the scenario that I just painted can be remedied by two event handlers that we can write code to handle inside of our XAML pages that allow us to handle the fact that the user has navigated to a new XAML page or is about to navigate away from the current XAML page. So in this scenario, we could temporarily save whatever the user is doing in some temporary storage area on the phone, and then when the user returns to the page, we can retrieve it and then write it to the screen. So let's do this. Let's remedy this scenario by going to our mainpage.xaml. And what I want to do is just go right here underneath this text, this code that says constructor. And I'm going to type in the following. All right, so I finished coding, and let me first of all just say, as you take a look at this, you might be wondering, well, what's going on here? You can use this just as it is, as kind of a recipe whenever you need this type of functionality, without having to know everything about how it works. So first of all, let me just give you that word of encouragement. Now, if you use it, you should understand what it's attempting to do and how to get more help and how to extend it. So I'll just encourage you to continue pressing the borders of your knowledge in that regard. But basically what's going on here is that it's overriding the default functionality of the phone application page, which, as you know, is the topmost item within your application. And it does this by overriding the code in the unnavigated from and unnavigated to event handlers. So that's why we use this word override, protected override void. So whatever you used to do for the unnavigated from and the unnavigated to, I want you to override that .NET framework, and I want you to do this instead. And then when you're finished doing that, then go ahead and use whatever code you already had in your unnavigated from and unnavigated to within your compiled assemblies. So this is a slightly more advanced object-oriented programming concept, but in general, we're just saying, I want to take control of what happens right before the app navigates from the current page to a new page. I want to take control of what happens when the app navigates to this current page as well. So when somebody is trying to navigate away from the main page.xaml, we want to save the values that were in the text box control into this state my value. Okay, it's basically called a state bag, a bag that we can toss values into, or rather a dictionary that we can add the keys like my value, as well as their associated values like whatever was in text box 1. So that's what we're doing here on line number 29. Then if somebody navigates back to this page, we check to see if that key, my value, exists. And if it does, then we're going to retrieve the associated value into this sum object. Then we're going to test that sum object to see if we can get the value using the try get value from earlier. And if we can, then we'll then do a toString on it and set its value back into the text box where it originally came from. Okay? Now, since we're working with a text box, we can simply convert it back using a toString. If we put other types of data in there, we might have to do a cast like we spoke about in previous lessons. All right, so let's test the scenario that I described earlier, and this time it should work regardless of how you navigate around and back to that navigate page.xaml. So let's run the application. Hopefully this will all work out. First of all, I'm going to type Bob. Okay, and then I'm going to hit our hyperlink button, and then I'll just use the back button, and then I'm going to hit it again, and I'm going to use this hyperlink button down here this time. And you can see the value previously was removed, but this time it's retained because we put it in our little phone app service state bag and we retrieved it out. Okay, there's one caveat to this little technique, and that is that the phone app service is permanently purged from memory when the application itself is removed from memory. So we're going to need a more robust means of handling the scenario of when the user clicks the start button to exit our application and then come back into our application. You can see now it's lost its value. So we're going to talk about that at length in a video later on day 3 that's called task switching and tombstoning. And so there are a couple of different levels that we have to handle state on. The first one being just here within our own application, and then when our application actually shuts down and then is relaunched from the phone. Okay, so hopefully that explains several concepts about navigating between pages, passing values between pages, what happens to the state of our pages when we navigate from one to another, and then how to retain state within this little state bag, I'm calling it, this phone service app.state. To save a value temporarily while the application is running. All right, so a lot there to handle. We're moving on. We're learning now more about what the phone can do. This is great. Hang in there. You're almost to the end. We'll see you in the next video. Thank you.